Good morning, everyone. We're going to go ahead and call the Senate Committee on Judiciary to order. Thank you for being here today. As Wednesday the 30th, we have only work sessions scheduled for today, and what I want to do is go through what we know at this point that we have. At this point, it looks like we are able, if we want to work today, the bills, the following bills: House Bill 2308A, House Bill 2740, just got the fiscal in just moments ago, House Bill 2988, and then House Bill 3446A. So what that means is the ones that we don't have, I can tell you two of them that we will not work today because that stuff just isn't going to be ready, is House Bill 2597 and House Bill 3047A. Those two are definitely not going to be able to be worked before tomorrow. The other one that we have now that's in the holding pattern is 2633, and we'll just have to wait and see what happens on that. So I'll go ahead and make the official announcement for House Bill 2597 as well as House Bill 3047A. They will be carried over until tomorrow, which will be June 1. Oh, excuse me.
Yeah, that sounds right.
Yeah, it is June 1. Yeah, I think for some reason 31 days. And so 2597 will carry over to 6-1. All right, so with that, I think we'll just start at the top and just work through these. I'm going to go ahead and open up the work session on House Bill 2308A. Josh?
Mr. Chair and members of the committee, House Bill 2308A provides that defendants who are unable to aid and assist and who are committed to the state hospital for treatment are granted credit for time served in jail against the maximum commitment period for treatment, unless the defendant is charged with aggravated murder or a crime listed in 137.702, which is where Measure 11 is codified. There is a -A3 amendment that grants credits to all defendants while allowing the court to deny credit for defendants charged with aggravated murder or a crime listed in ORS 137.700. With the -A3 amendment, House Bill 2308 has no revenue impact and a minimal fiscal impact.
All right, so we have an option here, colleagues, of moving the bill as it came over, which would be basically it would outright prohibit credit for time for anyone that's charged with a Measure 11 or ag murder or murder, so any of the mandatory minimum person crimes. The A3 would actually say that everyone gets credit, but the judge in his or her discretion would determine whether or not they should or shouldn't get credit. That would basically set up for more of a case-by-case basis. I would assume that decision would be made at the time when an individual is being committed for lack of fitness to proceed. I also would believe that the framework is after someone was actually there, the court could be petitioned to ask whether or not the time that they actually served should or shouldn't go against the 3 years as time went on. I guess what I want to say is that I don't think this is a one-time decision at the front end. I do believe that the parties would have the ability to go before the court during the period of time the person is in the state hospital. Excuse me, Senator Denbrough.
Just a question. And so would that same eventuality apply to the unamended bill? That is, that it, there would always be the possibility to go back to the court?
I don't think so, because my reading of, and my memory, Josh, help me out here, is on the bill as it came across from the House, it actually puts a prohibition.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, it's close. It says unless the defendant is charged with these crimes, the defendant is given credit. I'll say two things. The statute generally provides, I'll say three things, generally provides a lot of flexibility for the court to manage this process. And there was some testimony, my recollection is, at the public hearing that the court could in fact grant credit to these defendants. That said, that is not the most natural reading to me. I read this as saying defendants charged with other than those crimes get credit, and defendants charged with those crimes do not.
I think the simple, straight reading of the phrase or the subsection would be controlling, and the way it's written, it just seems to me that we as a legislature are intentionally saying, but for these crimes. So, all right, so we have a work session open, and I mean, I'm willing to go either way. I personally think that the A3s with the discretion for the court is appropriate on a case-by-case basis because, I'm just not convinced that one size fits all is the best approach in this type of area. Senator Manning?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Chair, I concur with you, but I also concur that any time a person's freedom is taken away from them in terms of whether or not they're committed to an institution for review or whatever, that is not of their own will, free will, but someone is compelling them to do that, I think that time should count as well. That's just my opinion. I do agree with you, the A3, in my opinion, that will allow some flexibility by the judges. Too many times we put into statute things that constrict the judges' ability to make decisions, especially common sense decisions. So,
okay. Any comments from anyone else?
I'm leaning towards the court may in terms of the overall penitentiary time cost, rehabilitation and things. Those are all extremely complex issues, and the judge is probably an appropriate place to weigh those mitigating circumstances or time served or whatnot.
All right. Based on my hearing, I think the chair would offer or suggest we go and take a vote on the A3s.
Okay, Mr. Chair, move the dash A3 amendment to House Bill 2308A.
All right, Senator Thatcher moves the dash A3 amendment for House Bill 2308A. Discussion on the amendment. Any objection to the amendment? So ordered.
Mr. Chair, move House Bill 2308A as amended with the dash A3 to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
All right. Senator Thatcher now moves House Bill 2308A as amended by the A3s to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Again, any discussion? Any objections? So ordered. And Senator Manning, would you be so kind?
I will. Thank you.
All right, we'll close the work session on 2308A, and we'll open up the next one, which will be on House Bill 2740.
Mr. Chair, excuse me, I was jumping right to it. Go ahead.
Mr. Chair and members of the committee, House Bill 2740 amends the crime of trafficking in persons. Under current law, the crime may be committed by a defendant who knowingly recruits, entices, harbors, transports, provides, or obtains another person or attempts to do so if the defendant knows or recklessly disregards the fact that the person is under 15 years of age and will be used in a commercial sex act. House Bill 2740 replaces 15 years of age with 18 years of age. There is a dash 2 amendment on OLIS for persons who are 15, 16, 17, so same class of persons, would require the defendant to have knowledge of the person's age as opposed to recklessly disregard the facts that would lead a person to be aware of the age. With the dash 2 amendment, House Bill 2740 has no revenue impact and a minimal fiscal impact.
All right. Again, let's talk a little bit about what the two options are. The 2740 basically just takes the current law and changes the date, the year of 15 years of under up to 18 and under 18. So that basically would keep the same mental element, which is reckless, for that group of individuals that are 15, 16, and 17 years of age. The dash 2 takes the position that as that group of individuals get closer to majority age 18, it's maybe not as easily determined by someone looking at someone's appearance as to that obviously being under 15 years of age. So when we were looking at this, this is something I thought that we wanted to have the discussion. Do we want to have basically, again, one size fits all and just say, you know, this would be what I call strict liability. It's not strict liability, but it is in a way. You're going to say that no matter what age, if they're under 18, if you're reckless in doing this, you're going to be held accountable, as compared to we're going to keep that for the current age group that we have now as the mental element. But for those that are 15, 16, or 17, then the I'd have to be shown that the defendant knowingly knew that this person wasn't. So it's a little bit higher standard for prosecution, but I wanted to put that out on the table for all of us to talk about. So discussions, comments?
Yeah, Mr. Chair, when I'm thinking of a show I watched where they were doing stings on people, and they had majority aged people, but the person was told they were younger, would that count as knowingly, even though the person didn't actually, you know, fall under the threshold of minor?
Well, I think what that would come down to is exactly what were the fact scenario. If someone relied on someone saying that they were over age, 18 or 19, and they were actually younger than that, I think the court would have to take in consideration all of the facts, or the jury would have to take in the facts at that point as to whether or not there was reason to believe that whatever was being told to you isn't true. I mean, clearly, I think the for a bright line type of test, if someone handed you an ID that reflected that you were over the age of 18, and you could tell that it looked to be a valid driver's license, doesn't look like it was altered and stuff like that, that would be probably much more of a defense than just relying on someone stating it. But clearly, I think that it could be demonstrated to a trier of fact that just on the declaration of the victim could in fact be enough. Senator Lithicum.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. What you're describing sounds perfectly reasonable if we were talking about Whippet or cigarettes or something like that and we're validating age. This is sex trafficking. And so I think at this point, it becomes a much more heinous kind of circumstance. So I would go against the dash two, mm-hmm. Just because of the elevated nature of this crime.
Okay. Other comments? Other discussion?
Well, Mr. Chair, I think that Senator Lithicum has a good raised some good points. In terms of the severity of this, of the crimes associated with sex trafficking, I'm okay with it as is.
Okay, so it sounds like we're going to go with the bill as it came across. So we'll take a motion on the bill itself.
Okay, Mr. Chair, I move House Bill 2740 to the floor with the due pass recommendation.
All right, Senator Thatcher moves House Bill 2740 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Any other discussion or comments? All right, what I'm going to do is just put on the record. There's one part here that I think that we need to just make somewhat of a record. One of the ways that an individual can, in fact, be held accountable for this is it calls for a transportation or transporting. And so the issue that came up in a small discussion group was if someone was giving an individual a ride across town with no other purpose except delivering them to a doctor's appointment or something like that, and if the victim is actually a person that fits the category of someone being sex trafficked, would that also be actionable? Could they be held accountable? It's one of those situations. I think that it would be on, again, a case-by-case basis. They're going to have to be able to prove it. But that is somewhat, when you have the broadness of the definitions, how you could potentially have an unintended consequence. So let's move forward with the 2740 as it is. and we'll just see how this plays out, and if something comes up, we may be revisiting this in the future. Senator Lithcom.
With regard to what you were describing, by nature of that, you know, kind of giving a lift, none of us would expect that there would be a crime of kidnapping there or anything of that sort because of lack of proof. So I think in that same circumstance, there would not be trafficking unless trafficking really were the issue. And it's not the issue. So I think your point is well taken. On a circumstance by circumstance, it may occur because of whatever, but I would think not.
Okay. Any other comments?
Manning? Brief one. Define again trafficking. My experience as, and you know, when I was active duty, working as a police officer, I know that transporting the victims for sexual whatever, deviance, whatever, I've known that people would go to truck stops, take girls, women, truck stops, and they will all go to, you know, rest areas on a highway, you know, in particular. So for this, what is the definition of trafficking?
All right, Josh?
Mr. Chair, Senator Manning. So first, a little bit of context. Promoting prostitution is a separate crime. Compelling prostitution is a separate crime. Aiding and abetting in a sex crime with a child is a separate crime. This crime applies to persons who recruit, entice, harbor, transport, provide, or obtain a person. And one thing I'll just throw out there, for fun, is that my guess is, and I haven't verified this yet, but my guess is the transport language was borrowed from a federal statute where that's sort of a United States constitutional jurisdictional issue that you need to cross state lines before federal law can apply. That's a little bit of a digression, but I hope I answered your question.
Thank you.
All right. Any other questions or comments? We have a motion before us to pass House Bill 2740 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Any objections? So ordered. We'll assign Senator Taylor to carry the bill on the floor. We'll close the work session on House Bill 2740. We'll open up a work session on House Bill 2988.
Mr. Chair and members of the committee, House Bill 2988 would elevate the crime of harassment involving offensive physical contact from a Class B misdemeanor to a Class A misdemeanor and a person crime if the offense is committed in the immediate presence of the minor child or stepchild or child residing in the household of either the defendant or the victim. There is a -1 amendment that limits the increase to cases involving domestic violence, and the -1 has no revenue impact and a minimal fiscal impact.
All right. So if you remember when we had testimony on House Bill 2988, some of the discussions that came up is how broad it was and what impact it could have as, again, the what we would call unintended consequences of how large the net would be. The -1 actually does, in fact, limit the application of the enhanced penalty to domestic violence situations. As history, we already have that formula or component as it pertains to assault in the fourth degree as to how it can be elevated up based on conduct that is surrounding domestic violence. So that's why we have the -1s, and I guess I'm going to just open it up to see if people want to talk about it anymore. I got the impression when we were working the bill, everyone or the people who supported the bill were much more comfortable with the -1s than by itself. So I'm going to go ahead and ask for the motion on the -1s.
Chair Brzezinski, I move the -1 amendments to House Bill 2988.
All right. Senator Thatcher moves the -1 amendments in the House Bill 2988. Again, I'm going to open it up for discussion. Senator Manning, I'll let you start.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair. As to this bill, as you indicated, there are already laws that exist that deals with these types of issues. I am really, I wrestled with this a long time, thinking about this, and the idea to increase a penalty in order to compel someone to get treatment, I think that that's not accurate. I think that what happens if a person decides that they don't want to go to treatment, then the alternative is to lock them up. I can't support this bill in any form to include the amendment.
All right, so I want to walk through part of that because I want to make certain I understand the concern that you are raising. So on the 2988, on the reference as to forcing someone into treatment, the perspective that you're having on that, because I'm not sure that bill
was one of the testimony that was presented.
All right. So, first of all, I guess I'm going to say, if we don't move the dash ones and that the bill went without the dash ones, that would open this up much broader with, I think, much more unknowns of people being captured in the setup. So I don't think I'm hearing you say that you really want 2988 without the amendment. Your position is we have enough laws as it is now, the structure and the sanctions that we have are appropriate, and that we don't need to have that enhancement for DV.
Absolutely.
Okay. All right, other comments and questions?
The dash one, if I remember, I don't like the bill in its native form, and I appreciate the dash one trying to tighten it, but the dash one, if I remember correctly, Josh, you can add in, also includes electronic threat definitions.
Mr. Chair, Senator Linthicum, it does, but I believe that is existing law that is just rewritten for convenience in the amendment. Okay. So that's in the statute today.
And what's the interplay of that electronic threat and the relationship to witness by a child? The very last sentence, line 28 of the introduced bill, says, or directly perceived in any other manner by a minor child. And this is, you know, if that electronic correspondence is included, the game's over. In essence, I don't like this bill either with the dash ones or as a native bill.
Mr. Chair, Senator Linthicum, just to answer your question, there are a number of different ways to commit harassment, and so the electronic threat is sort of it's unrelated to
okay.
this particular issue.
But the directly perceived,
does
that mean reading, some correspondence somewhere in some, whether it was an email or whatnot? If I read the email, I directly, saw the threat or whatnot.
Go ahead.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, I don't think that works. My recollection is there's appellate case law on this sort of witness perceive. And I'm out on a limb here, but my recollection is the perceive accounts for the situation when, for example, child's in another room mm-hmm. but can hear the commotion.
That's correct. I mean, it's a situation that the studies have shown is that just the child being in close proximity and having either video or visual or audio reception of the event. And so the way we've talked about it before and the way it works in court is that if there's a couple who are fighting, engaged in a fight in bedroom A, and the child is in bedroom B and they share adjoining wall, and it can be shown the child was able to hear and listen, because I've had cases where the child has been asleep and there's been no way that we were able to show or demonstrate that the child was impacted by what happened in the other room, as compared to, as you can imagine, having a child hiding in their room and all the yelling and screaming and the hitting happening. That would be grounds for this to go forward. All right. Any other comments or questions?
Well, I just want to say that I appreciate that it is limited to DV only, because I did think it would cast too wide of a net otherwise.
Yeah. And I agree with that analysis. And again, because we've already have this framework as it pertains with the assault force, it seemed to fit in line. In my understanding, the proponents of the bill were, in fact, that's what their intention was to allow for what many people refer to as a lesser included, even though it technically is not a lesser included charge. Harassment only requires offensive physical contact, but no injuries, where the assault for does require injuries, that they wanted to mirror those up for the same reasons as to the impact on basically on kids. Senator Lithicum?
Just some other thought. In your narrative, as you described Room A and Room B, you use the terms hitting and fighting, and we can recognize that picture. The language here is touching intimate parts of another person. Is intimate part defined for us, Josh?
So, Mr. Chair, members of the committee, again, I think that is a different form of harassment. So harassment can be committed in a host of ways, one of which... Let me try this again.
Just go through it.
Under current law, the offense of physical contact is a B misdemeanor, but that gets elevated to an A misdemeanor under this sexual or other intimate parts of the person. So that's not directly related to this bill. But to answer your question, there is case law in this intimate part language that talks about sort of it being both subjectively and objectively intimate. So there's no list, but... Both the victim has to believe it to be an intimate part, and the jury has to find that it is an intimate part.
Yeah. So on this harassment as it pertains to the sexual content, this is a different tool that we put into the toolbox for prosecution from sex abuse in the third degree. And so where those elements aren't able to necessarily be shown on for that offense, this is another one that's call it somewhat of a catch-all, but another one that you could potentially use. But if you look at the bill itself under Section 1, starting on line 5, it says a person commits the crime of harassment if the person intentionally. And then as you start down there, the small a basically harass or annoy another person, and then it basically talks about how that can occur. And then the B is the subjects another person, another to alarm of conveying a false report. So those are the different ways that you could have someone, and also there's another one, C, I didn't go over that. But those are ways that you can have a harassment charge pending against someone or brought against someone for relatively different conduct. But it is kind of caught under the framework of what we would consider in this state harassment. And so they're not always interconnected. You don't have to have the sexual stuff to have the offensive physical contact. All right. Any other questions or comments? All right. We have
Ms. Chair, yes. I would just say that, narrowing that occurs with the amendment to the domestic violence kind of situation really helps me to visualize the sort of situation that we're talking about here. You can easily, I think, visualize the harmful effects that it could have on a child to be party to this kind of situation and feel not only concerned for the parent who's the victim, but also just terrified.
Right. Okay. All right, so we have a motion to move House Bill 2988 as amended by the dash ones to the floor with a due pass recommendation. And besides Senator Manning, is there anyone else who's opposing? All right. So motion carries. And the chair will go ahead and carry House Bill 2988 to the floor. And we'll close the work session on House Bill 2988. And we'll now open up a work session on House Bill 3446A.
Mr. Chair and members of the committee, House Bill 3446A authorizes the court at any time after the successful completion of probation to enter a conviction for felony driving while suspended as a Class A misdemeanor. If the court finds, considering the nature and circumstances of the crime and the history and character of the person, that it would be unduly harsh for the person to continue to have a felony conviction. There is a dash A4 amendment that narrows the bill. The amendment limits the authority to felony convictions for driving while suspended that arise out of a suspension or revocation resulting from habitual offender status that occurred prior to September 1, 1999. And so that is the date in which the Assembly reduced driving while suspended from a felony to a misdemeanor. So all the old felonies will be included in the bill. And then with the Dash A4 amendment, House Bill 3446 has a minimal revenue impact and a minimal fiscal impact.
All right. So the chair will take a motion on the A4s.
Hey, Chair Brzezinski, I move the Dash A4 amendments to House Bill 3446A.
Senator Thatcher moves the A4 amendments into House Bill 3446A. Discussion? Any objections? So ordered.
Chair Brzezinski, I move House Bill 3446A as amended with the Dash A4 amendment to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
All right, Senator Thatcher moves House Bill 3446A as amended by the A4s to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Discussion? Any objections? So ordered. So this was Olson. Senator Thatcher, will you carry? Or
sure.
Senator? Okay. We'll have Senator Thatcher carry 3446A. All right, and so at this point, what I have is we've already stated that we'd be back tomorrow on House Bill 2597A as well as House Bill 3047A. The other one that we'll be carrying over, because I assume we have not got the paperwork this morning, and we'll check one more time, is House Bill 2633A. All right, so we got three bills that we're carrying over. Lisa, does that cover us?
Actually, I think we need to go back and look at 2988 because I only have one vote, and I'm not clear whether it was adopting the amendment or the full measure.
Okay, that could be my mistake. Okay, so we're going to reopen the work session on House Bill 2988A. I'm going to play it that maybe we only had one vote, and that was on the amendment. So why don't we do this? Let's see. I think for clarity's sake, and I'm going to ask Lisa, do you want us to just revote everything, or do you want?
It would probably be clearest.
Okay. So what we're going to do is okay, let's just do this. I need a motion. I'll make the motion to suspend the rules so we can reconsider the vote that we passed House Bill 2988 to the floor. Is there any objection to the motion to reconsider? Not seeing, so ordered. So at this point, we're now reconsidering our vote on House Bill 2988. And I'm going to ask Senator Thatcher if you'll make us a motion for the adoption of the Dash Ones.
Okay. All right. Mr. Chair, I'll move the Dash One amendments to House Bill 2988.
Senator Thatcher moves the Dash One amendments into House Bill 2988. Again, discussion? Any objection? So ordered. Senator Thatcher?
Okay. We had objections.
On the amendment.
On the amendment?
Yeah.
The amendment narrows it.
Yeah, okay. No, if y'all, I okay. So.
Summarize the Dash One amendment for us. If the amendment narrows it, I'm okay with the amendment, but it's still against the total.
Right.
If that's what.
Yeah.
But I want to know that's true.
Yeah, I think y'all are fine.
Okay. Because
the Dash One does narrow it to the DV.
Okay.
And I assume from what we said earlier, y'all were fine with that, but just the concept of the bill moving forward.
Okay.
All right. So that motion passes unanimously as to the adoption of the Dash One amendments. And now at this point, we'll take a motion for moving the bill.
All right. Mr. Chair, I move House Bill 2988 as amended with the Dash One to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
All right. Senator Thatcher now moves House Bill 2988 as amended by the Dash Ones to the floor with a due pass recommendation. All right. Discussion. Senator Manning, discussion?
No discussion.
All right.
No discussion.
No discussion. All right. At this point, we're those who are opposed, please raise your hand. I see Senator Manning and Senator Lithicum opposing. Motion carries. Chair will still carry House Bill 2988 as amended with the Dash Ones to the floor with the due pass recommendation. With that, we'll close the work session on House Bill 2988. Now, at this point, we are carrying over three bills, and we'll say that one more time. House Bill 2597A, House Bill 2633A, and House Bill 3047A. If that's okay, and we're fine. I think we're scheduled to be here tomorrow at 8:15.
8:15.
All right, why don't we do this? We only have three bills to carry. I'll give the committee your option. We could start at 8:30 or we could start at 9. Do you want to have more time in your day after we meet, or do you want to sleep in and come in at 9?
Well, just because we want 9 does not necessarily mean we're sleeping in, just clarifying there.
So, anyone have a preference?
8:30.
8:30? All right, so we're going to reconvene tomorrow on the 1st at 8:30. And the other thing I want to just put on the record, we have one of the three bills. We're still haven't got confirmation that we'll have the paperwork tomorrow morning. With that said, there's a possibility. Well, we've already reserved for Friday. My goal would be not to meet on Friday, but instead to meet Thursday afternoon if we need to. I know, Senator Dimbrough, your committee will be meeting from 1 to 3. And so does anyone know, have a committee issue at 3 o'clock tomorrow was Thursday, between 3 and 5?
Government at 3.
You do general government? Oh, that must be the way. Yeah, I was going to say.
Yeah.
Our committee probably, if we're meeting, and we probably will probably be just for one or two bills.
Okay, so then we're on.
I have an education committee meeting at 3.
Okay, and do you have anything at in the 1 to 3 o'clock slots? Right.
My subcommittee, general government, we only have one work session, so it's going to go by pretty fast.
Okay. All right. So if we shoot for 2 to 2:30. As a backup, that should work for everyone. Mm-hmm. All right, so I just want to put that on notice for everyone. If we don't have all of our paperwork to complete the three bills that we have left for tomorrow morning, please stay tuned. We are on 1 hour notice, but I'm assuming that we will be making that call tomorrow morning, and we'll be shooting for someplace between 2 and 3 o'clock, knowing that we only have one bill at that point. With that, we're adjourned till tomorrow at 8:30. Till tomorrow at 8:30. That we're adjourned.